This morning's scripture comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hear in our own languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, each in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." It started off with a tremble. The windows rattled, the walls shook, earthquake. The chandeliers began to sway. We'd been through this before. How bad would it be? That feeling when you realize it's shaking and you wonder, is this the big one? Where did it take cover? Under the table? In the doorway? Do you run outside? Thinking back to those school days of duck and cover under tiny desks, your mind races. Then you're counting family members. Everyone here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Mine all present. The doors bust open, the windows begin to shatter, your long, uncut hair blows into your face, and you scramble to pull it back. It's not an earthquake. It's wind. Wind! Oh, we know winds even better than we know earthquakes. The hot Santa Anas blow through our lives multiple times a year, whistling through the windows and door cracks, chapping our skin, dust in our eyes. We wake in the morning to downed trees or even power outages. But the power here wasn't out. The power is on, electrifying our bodies like a jolt from head to toe, arm hairs standing on end, tickling our spine, waking us up. That feeling of being alive, more than alive, its potency beating fiercely through our veins, the breath in our lungs filling us up, deep inhales that infiltrate way down into our diaphragms, the pressure hard in our chest, oxygenating our blood and then pushing right back out the same way it came in, escaping back up through our throats, right out of our lips, blown over, a shiver back up the spine, and the whole thing happens again. Blowing through our bodies, tousling our hair, up the stairs, through the bathroom, ruffling the towels, swirling like a tornado in the shower, and then billowing back through the bedsheets before pushing its way through the cracks right out the window once more. The entire house filled and emptied in an instant. As soon as it came, it left. Suddenly, tongues of fire appear. Fire and wind, not a good combo for Californians. We know this all too well. We've seen it year after year. We know the danger. Our human hands can't quite grasp it. Try as we might, we cannot easily stop it. Powerful, forceful, the beauty of fire that runs its way through the hills, mesmerizing and terrifying all at the same time. And yet this fire licks upon our heads, but it does not burn. What is happening? Uncertainty, confusion, and then wonderment. Ah! Seeing something so much bigger than ourselves has rushed its way into our homes, into our lives, into this moment. What does it mean? We have no choice but to stop and find out. Well, I love the story of Pentecost. I didn't appreciate it until I was an adult. I don't think it was much observed where I was growing up. Probably too liturgical for the church I grew up in. Likely the same for Baptists, who are notorious for shying away from liturgical holidays. But there has been a renewed appreciation and welcome even of holy days, and Pentecost is one of the holiest, if not also one of the most forgotten. There's so much significance to this day. The wind, the fire, the battle, the many languages, and the ability to speak and understand anew. Year after year, we reread this passage, and it never disappoints. It is filled with powerful imagery and symbolism that invites us to think in metaphor and apply to real life. Over these last couple of months in quarantine, I've had a new perspective on life, church, and even biblical interpretation. I found myself reading familiar passages, and in the same words that I have read before, I have found new meaning. I'm picking up on the words I'd glossed over before, whether it was Mark's resurrection story and the emphasis on going back to Galilee, going home to find Jesus, or the beloved 23rd Psalm that invites us to sit at the table where we are, or now, today, in the Pentecost story, the story that we have read over and over again. Every year we come to the book of Acts and read this very story, but in this story, I now become so aware of where the disciples were when it all began. Did you hear it? Did you listen to it? Because I always picture everybody in the street with the wind blowing to the marketplace as people from all over gather together. And while it may have stumbled outside, it was the house that first shook with the power of the wind. They were stuck in the house. And wouldn't you know it? We're stuck in the house. The spiritual experience did not happen in a temple. It didn't happen out in the wilderness or on a mountaintop, as so many spiritual experiences do. It happened in a house. The wind blew through the house. The Spirit rushed in and disturbed everything that was normal, turning it all upside down as the flames abruptly landed atop their heads at home. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't have to go in search of the Holy Spirit. It found them. That's significant, isn't it? Read this story a million times, but only now did I realize this detail. That the Holy Spirit came rushing into the house to disturb them from their norm, to shake them out of their comfort zones and jolt them to awareness, awakening them from the contentment of complacency. It happened at home. As you know, Pentecost is the day we celebrate the birth of the church. Well, then it is no surprise that the birth of a church did not take place inside a church. It took place in a house. Well, here I am. In a house. And you? In a house? Okay, maybe it's an apartment, maybe it's a condo, whatever. You're at home. At home. You know, everybody is so consumed with when we will go back to church. I think it's important to ask ourselves, when will we go back to church? Not to the place, but to where it all began. Because we are invited back to the beginning, back to where it all started, with it power, fear, and awe. When everything that was normal suddenly wasn't anymore. Sound familiar? It was there, when everything flipped, that the church was born. When everything that seemed normal wasn't normal anymore. The fire that burned atop their heads did not catch. The fire that enlightened their minds, that set their hearts aflame, that illumined the spirit and birthed the church, that caught. That's where we came from. And guess what? That's where we are. In the house. And it is here that the Spirit is set loose, blowing through our lives, disturbing our comfort, turning everything upside down, and inviting us to see with a new perspective. The old becomes new because the Spirit has caught hold of us, has tousled our hair and taken residence in our chest, forcing us to breathe deeply, to stop. And feel the air in our lungs, to hold it there, feeling the Spirit in us, and with it all its power and might, and then exhaling it and sending it back out to do its thing, to rush through and cleanse our world abruptly, just as abruptly as it arrived among us, and yet leaving us changed. What if this is our Pentecostal moment? I mean, none of us really wants to be breathed upon right now with the breath that moves a million miles a minute. I know that's so scary. We're all doing our calculations about how far away we can breathe from each other. And then here, this breath of God comes barging through our doors, seeping through our windows, blowing its way through our nostrils and into our lungs. We certainly hear that part anew, don't we? But instead of spreading a virus, this breath is spreading something else. Spirit. Turning our lives upside down so that we can see with a new perspective. Unclogging our ears so we can listen with ears that hear. Birthing church in a way that we never anticipated. At home. At home. In a house. Where it all started, at home, in our house, it all starts again. You know, I'm not one of those people that thinks that God did this so that we could have a restart. I do not think that the virus was a divine product that was set in motion to teach us all a lesson. I don't think God works like that. But I most definitely think and believe that God works with what is to teach us divine lessons all the time. And so as hard as it is to believe, I think that God has given us a gift to contemplate, to force us out of our comfort zones, to help us redefine our faith and reimagine church. Yes, Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It is where it all began. But we have gotten so used to thinking that church looks a certain way that we can hardly imagine it without being sitting in our own pews together. But this year, This year, the Spirit has blown through all of our preconceived notions and giving us an incredible opportunity. Now, it is easy to want to get back to the way things were, to hurry up and get back to normal, business as usual. And trust me, there is a huge part of me that wants to go back to the way things were, back so I can hug you at the front door and chat with you in the narthex, to stand up for a call to worship and sing our way through our service. I want to watch the kids pile up on beanbags and then trip me up by sidetracking me to make me bust up laughing and give thanks for their joy. I want to pray in the same room as you and hear you sing Carry the Light. You know how badly I want to see Fran dancing in the aisles. That's why I love it every time we get to see her dancing on our screens. I want to return to normal. But the Spirit just swept me off my feet. It reminds me that nothing is going to be normal again. Now that doesn't sit well with me. But maybe there is something to learn from this time period. Maybe the wind that gets in my ears clears out all of those preconceived notions of what church is and leaves us room to birth church anew. Right here in my house. Right there in your house. In our home. Because even though we are apart, we have learned something these last few months, that we get down to what is essential. Like our stewardship theme, essential faith. We know what matters, that distance doesn't have to keep us apart because we really are connected at heart. Something new is being birthed in us, so reflective of that first Pentecost, that first century. And here we are in the 21st century experiencing the Spirit as she creates a new experience of church. One that in some ways is so familiar, so very similar to the way it all began in that house millennia ago. So let the Spirit move among us. And perhaps we, like them, will experience that Pentecostal moment where suddenly it all makes sense. That flame above our heads, that's the old light bulb that goes on, that illuminates a new way or a very old way to do and be church. Suddenly fresh and calling us anew. We will continue to figure it out, but it starts here, at home, in this house, in mine and in yours, God's house, where it all began, when a faithful few were stirred out of their comfort into a new beginning, where suddenly that which had been so foreign and unfamiliar now made sense. May it be so. Amen.